It was important to me that you hear today from Ground Zero and from Carl. And I was thinking as I was driving in today, this is another Myrtle Beach exit for me in a sense. This is actually my second Myrtle Beach exit. Many of you, I don't know how many of you met me years ago when I first came to Myrtle Beach. I came to Myrtle Beach Community Church, which is now Beach Church. How many, did any of you meet me there? I know, like, David, Paul, yeah, a group of you met me back then, and I came. I was asked by that church. Actually, the first person I ever met over the phone was Scott Pyle, and we talked over the phone, and they actually hired me to come in and do a Wednesday night service. I think I did that for 2 years, probably. It was something like 2 years, and then through a series of events and everything, I left that opportunity and did not think I would be back at Myrtle Beach. I enjoyed coming to Myrtle Beach, but I mean, I live in Columbia, and most of what I've done over the years has been in Columbia or in closer areas to Columbia, like Greenville or Charlotte or Florence. Myrtle Beach is a long way. And then I got a call from Scott. Several of these guys back at the left table had a Bible study at the Dunes Club, and so Scott asked if I would come help kind of teach that group, and we went to Magnolias. We actually came here, I believe, in 2008. I've been really trying to do the math in my head. We started Magnolias, and I think at the beginning, near the end of 2008, we may have moved over here from Magnolias and started, because we didn't stay at Magnolias but for about 6 months, and we got too big. And we came there in 2007 to Magnolias. I ended up leaving Myrtle Beach Community Church, but ended up coming back here, and now this is my second exit because I'm leaving here, but I'm not actually being called to leave Myrtle Beach right now. I wasn't sure early in the year. I knew God was calling me to make a significant change this year. I left a church at the end of 2022, moving into 2023, making some different changes in Greenville, starting something new in Columbia, starting the same week I'm starting back here in Myrtle Beach. So there's a lot of changes going on in my life right now. So for you ladies who I love, it's nothing personal. It is just something that God is doing. And I'm not gonna stop when I sense God calling me to something different or something new. I'm just not gonna do that. And so I would appreciate your prayers as we do that. I do feel much more called over this next season of my life, just going after the heart of men. And I see just a huge vacuum in our culture, including in my own life. And just a lot of knowledge of God, but not a lot of practical application of what we know about God in our own lives. I mean, how many of you guys are seeing significant, radical, spiritual change in your life 24/7 right now? Most men I know, the same old thing every week. And then they take their devotions and they take their knowledge of God. And are we being radically transformed for whatever's coming our way? Are we submitting our thoughts and words and deeds to God every day, going, I don't want this anymore? Are we submitting our habits to God, things that we've been stuck in for years, and seeing God begin to kind of radically transform us? I believe that that's at least the type of thing that God's calling me to do, and then I'm not sure how to walk people through it. But I know it's necessary, and that's why I think it's with men, where we can address specific things together and just put them on the table, be honest about them, and deal with them. And if you don't want to deal with them, you probably won't hang out with me for long in the next months. I was talking to a guy yesterday who is kind of a think tank behind me, and he goes, a lot of the guys you deal with aren't going to want to change anything about their lives. I said, that's fine. They can stay in that crap if they want to. But I want to walk with people that are ready to move forward. I believe that's what God's calling me to. I believe that's why it's a specific group of people. It may be big, it may be small. I have no idea. We're trying to give Pine Lakes a number of guys. I think I'd be surprised, you know, maybe it'll grow, maybe it'll shrink. I don't know. But I do want to be involved in something that grows spiritually in people's lives. As I was thinking about what to do today, I thought about this term is Eucharista. It's, you know, many of you are familiar. in your church that you take the Eucharist. It is communion. It is to give thanks. That's what we do. When we take communion, we give thanks to God. That's why it's called the Eucharist. The Greek word means Eucharisto. It means to give thanks. God calls us as his church to give thanks. I've been thanking God for the opportunity to be with you in this place, thanking God for this place. I told Greg, I'm pretty sure that when I show up here in a month, I'm going to drive it in this parking lot and go, shoot, I came to the wrong place. That I'm thankful for the 15 years of God providing a place in the marketplace for us to meet. That how much of your life, how much of your time, how much of your devotion is just spent giving thanks to God? How much of your prayer life is spent giving thanks as opposed to asking and pleading? Lord, do this, rather than, Lord, I just sit here thankful that you have extended to me an undeserved grace, that you have given yourself over to me in blood through Christ so that I could be redeemed. And I just want to thank you. How much of your prayer life is devoted to thanksgiving? I believe that the church has been called to give thanks, to lift their hands just in recognition to a God of grace who has given everything to us. 2 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, give thanks and praise his name. Psalm 107, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Or if you've ever thought of what happens when we don't give thanks, that I think of this text right here. I have it up in front of you right now. It says, for since the creation of the world, Romans 1:20, it's that transition in Romans 1, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. They're without excuse. What this is telling us is that God has revealed himself to the world in creation. I was telling y'all last week that I've really been captured by ChatGPT. And if you haven't been captured by ChatGPT, just give it a shot, and you might be too. And ChatGPT is that, you know, artificial intelligence opportunity we have to almost get anything we want at any point. And so I've been using it for a lot of scripture references and things like that. And I ask it this question last week, and you can try it if you want to. I said, give me a list of every reference in the Old Testament to creation. You know what it did? It tapped out. It basically said, that's too vast. I want you to think about that. You try getting on ChatGPT and asking it questions. It'll answer anything. And then and we argue over creation. And I said, just give me a reference, everyone. It tapped out. Then I said, give me a reference to every reference to creation in the book of Psalms. Every time I study the book of Psalms, I'm amazed at how the psalmists are in wonder of what God created. And it said, I'll give you some. It couldn't even tap out Psalms. That God has revealed himself to the people of this world through what he's made. And then it says this, even though they knew God, how did they know God? Because he showed himself to the world through his handiwork. It said they did not honor him or give thanks. They failed to give thanks. And what happens? Their foolish hearts were darkened. We've been called to give thanks. We've been called to be a people of thanksgiving who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And so I thought we would look at this text. I don't know that I could always say this, but I am now a church attendee. You can find me at Columbia Presbyterian Church. I had a guy yesterday in Florence go, where is this church you're going to? I said, you can find me. If you walk in, I'll be in the far left corner. That's where a guy that's been in church ministry for years sits. We sit in the far left corner. But from the preacher's standpoint, I'm in the far right corner. Because I had lunch with him the other day. I said, what am I supposed to do with this guy that's sitting in the far right-hand corner of my church, and I know who he is, and I'm not sure why he's here? I said, I don't know what to tell you. I said, I am in the right corner of this church because that's where I want to be. And I sit back in the far left corner from my perspective of the church, And every time he stands up or one of the ministers stands up to give the benediction, I get so excited. I say, please stand and receive. And he will say, reach out your hands and receive this benediction. And the most exciting part to me is I look to my left and my grown children and son-in-laws have their hands out. And they're pulling in this benediction. They're receiving it. They're grabbing it. And sometimes I lose my own, thought process because I'm so rejoicing as I watch their hands out. And it's almost like they're up on their toes going, I want this. They begin to receive it. It's a time in the service that we receive and give thanks. You know the difference between a benediction and a doxology, right? A doxology is from us to God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. A benediction is from God to us. Receive this. May the God of all peace give this to you. So in a benediction, we receive. In a doxology, we extend. You see the difference between the two? Not for judgment, but I hope your church does both. I hope you have a doxology where you extend and a benediction where you receive. It's like a blessing that God has given us on the Lord's Day. And so we're called to give thanks to the God who equips us. He said, now may the God of peace. So this is a benediction. So the minister stands up and he says, I've got something for you, church. I've got a blessing for you. Reach out and get it. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you. I love that. It's like we can give thanks to a God who longs to equip us, to strengthen us, to empower us, as we were encouraged by Scott from Ground Zero, to stand firm together. We've been equipped for that in the church. We can stand, we can join, we can unify. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. It's a unifying work that Christ has done to bring us together into one. That's why I've encouraged y'all for so long. Don't study the scriptures as an I. Study the scriptures as a we. It's not a you receiving this letter. It's a y'all. We've got to join in on the y'all. We individualize the scriptures. Rather than saying these have been meant to be received corporately. All of us together, unified as one. As one. We are one in Christ. And I think so many people miss this. In their quiet time, it's my little quiet time. No, I am encountering God by His grace through Christ, filled with His Holy Spirit, so I can find my place in the body. Not so that I can go out and accomplish great things on my own, but so that I can find my place in the church, because we are a we. And we've been called to reach the world. We've been called to proclaim a message of reconciliation as ambassadors. Not an ambassador, but we are ambassadors together. So we give thanks to the God who equips us. And then he says this, he equips us with everything good. Why? So that we can do his will. I know I've been saying it a lot, but as I'm studying the Lord's Prayer right now, I am convinced that when we go before God and say, your will be done, we are relinquishing ours. When you pray that prayer, you're going, I don't want my will, or you're not praying that prayer. So many people go to God with a list of what they want Him to do, rather than I want you to do what you're going to do, and I want you to break me to the point where I can embrace it, accept it, and go along with it. That's what it means. He doesn't need to hear your ideas. You need to understand His. It's His plan. You've been invited into His plan. So He equips us so that we can do His will. Not when you go into prayer, he's not going, wow, that's a good idea. He's breaking down those ideas and conforming you to go, no, your way is the way. And then he says, working in us. As he works in us, he is working things out of us. And praise God for that. He is working things out of us. That's called sanctification. Working in us his will, working out of us our will. Working in us his desires, working out of us our desires. It's called transformation. It's called sanctification. It's called holiness and righteousness. Those come as we strip ourselves of the weight and the sin that so easily entangles us and trips us up. And as we are set free to run the race of endurance with our eyes fixed on Christ, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. And how much of our lives could we honestly say, well, that was probably pleasing in his sight? Well, those are the things he's working out of us as he works other things into us. And so we give thanks to him. The one who begins the work is the one who finishes the work. I really just wanted to drive into us the concept of Eucharisto, that we would begin to see the importance of giving thanks to God. I talk to so many people, and I am often one of these people, that we begin to evaluate the circumstances in our own life, and all of a sudden we've got this bitterness and this anger and all these other things that begin to get in the way, and it robs us of thanking God. And it causes us to begin to shake our fists. Believers, I'm talking about believers. I've been this guy a lot. I could be this guy tomorrow very easily. Make time in your day, make time in your prayer life to give thanks to God. Spend time before God doing nothing but hands lifted up and receiving from him, rather than constantly telling him what you want. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Said, you know, when we go into the house of God, draw in to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, because he is in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Have you ever thought about that as a definition of prayer? Let your words be few. Draw near to listen and to receive rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. That would be my exhortation to each of you as we kind of move towards different, whatever it is God's calling us to in our lives. That we would be listeners. Let me ask you this in conclusion. When you go before God, when you go before God in thanksgiving, what is more important? That he hear from you or that you hear from him? Which is more important to you? Now, some of you, if you're honest, you're going, well, I don't know. He already knows. Sometimes that's one of my summary statements really quick. I'll go, Lord, you already know what's going on. You already know what's on my heart. You already know what I want to say. You already know what I'm upset about. That's enough of me. How in the world are you going to strengthen me to glorify you in response to this? Help me, intercede for me, intervene for me, and turn my heart from self-centered narcissism to thanksgiving and praise. I've found that to work sometimes. Sometimes it takes a while. Eucharisto, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercies are new every morning. He is worthy of our praise. He has seen fit to reach down in space and time and intervene on our behalf by revealing to us his grace. He has drawn us to himself and enabled us to believe in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection and the exaltation of his great son, Jesus Christ. He offered him as a sacrifice, as a blood sacrifice. He slaughtered him. And let his wrath be poured out on him so that we might, by grace through faith in his finished work, be redeemed. Rejoice and give thanks, for the Lord is good. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your unselfish heart towards your church. And as we were here today, Lord, we thank you, Father, for the capacity to stand firm even in persecution. Father, may we not waver. May we not be like the winds and the wave tossed here and fro by anything that comes our way, whether it be false doctrine or whether it be persecution, Father. May we, in Christ, through the power of your Holy Spirit, find the joy of standing firm for you and you alone. Sustain us, strengthen us, unify us, and even, Father, as in many ways we go separate ways, strengthen us together. We are your church. We have a glorious eternity to look forward to. We ask you for the strength to stand firm in the meantime, and that we would be those that serve and give thanks. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.